please be in order. Those persons not having privilege of the floor will please vacate the chamber. All members and guests in the galleries will please rise as we are led in prayer this morning by Commissioner of Corrections David Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, would you bow your heads? Father, we just come to you today thanking you that your mercies are renewed every day. Father, we live in a troubled, messed up world. And while we're here, I know that these ladies and gentlemen do their best to make it better. So I pray your blessing on everyone, every person in this room right now, that decisions will be made with wisdom, that they'll be made with you in mind, and that they'll be made knowing that when we leave here, we will leave here having done what we were supposed to do. Now, Father, just bless them all real good in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.
Please remain standing as we are led into Pledge of Allegiance today by the gentleman in the 68th District, Delegate Phillips.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Would everyone please join me in reciting the pledge to the flag of our great republic?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Members and guests may be seated. Reading of the Journal.
Journal of the House of Delegates, February 23rd, 2026.
Journal from the 43rd, Delegate Tony.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the further reading of the journal be dispensed with and that it be approved and having been read.
Gentleman from the 43rd, ask unanimous consent that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and that it be approved as having been read. Are there objections? No objections are heard. Further reading of the journal be dispensed with. Introductions. Gentleman from the 80th, Doug Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have with us today a former colleague, Ms. Delegate Danielle Walker. If she would please stand, if the House would give her a warm welcome.
Gentleman the 51st, Delegate Clay.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have a guest up in the South Gallery, Jeff Stevens, who is a lifelong friend of our Sergeant-at-Arms, Ed Hart. Would you give him a nice welcome?
Gentleman number 6, Delegate Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If you turn your attention to the West Gallery, we have some people from the Black Lung Association with us today. We have Sarah Elswick, Chad Trent, Susie Kress, Diana Perdue, Krista Critchfield, Gary Harrison, Delisa Legg, Wayne Bostick, Lisa Emery, Ricky Carruthers, Randy Lawrence, and Bev Lawrence. Would the House please make them feel welcome?
Gentleman from the 85th, Doug Hott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today's a special day at the Capitol. Today we are celebrating and honoring those in corrections. Today is Corrections Day 2026. We have many people with us that I'd like to stand to be recognized that we could show our appreciation today, and I think the majority of them are in the South Gallery, so I would direct your attention there. I had just a brief conversation with former member and now Commissioner David Kelly that I don't believe he's had time to make it up there, but he is among us. We have Deputy Commissioner Marvin Plumley. We have Assistant Commissioner Shelby Sarles. We have Assistant Commissioner Ann Thomas. We have Chief of Staff Lori Lynch. We have Lieutenant Travis Bailey. We have Corporal Christopher Gibson. We have Maggie Ramsey. We have Sergeant Barry Trenchkis. Apologize. We have Corporal Christopher Kennedy. We have CO2 Jared Ayers. We have Robert Kennedy. I'm sorry, that is Roberta Kennedy. We have Beverly Midkiff. She is an ASA1. And we have Felicia Swecker, who is an executive assistant. Would the House please recognize these amazing people in corrections for being here with us today?
Gentleman, the 44th, Doug Root.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today I have several special pages with us. First off, I have Mr. Ross Dumas, and he's already working here. Ross is one of our All-American baseball players in town. He's from Park Middle School, and he is here with his parents, Hal and Dr. Christy Dumas, seated in the West Gallery, if you would make them feel welcome. In addition, I have these three wonderful young ladies who I claim as my grandkids, but they're really my nieces. We have Mila, Aspen, and Charlie Roop, and they are here with my sister, Mary Roop, seated in the South Gallery. Please make them feel welcome.
Gentleman, the 33rd, Luckett Bridges.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a couple pages with me today. I got my cousin Mason Porter and Colton Hall. They're standing right here, and their parents are up in the gallery, in the South Gallery. And it's probably one of my favorite magistrates in Logan County, so Harold Porter. So everybody, please make them feel welcome.
Gentleman, the 50th, Doug Pritt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, everyone. I am very proud to welcome to the state capitol today the Black Lung Association members and members from the Fayette County Black Lung Association, and specifically Ms. Lisa Emery. She is a medical provider for New River Health and works in the Black Lung Clinic there, and she is a tireless advocate for coal miners and men and women who have been afflicted by black lung disease. Those men and women have given their bodies in the service of this state, and we owe them a debt. So I hope you make them feel welcome today. Thank you.
Gentleman, the 54th, Doug Pushkin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today, we are joined by an exceptional page, a sixth grader from Horseman Middle School, Mr. Cameron White. And if he would rise. And Cameron is accompanied today by his father, Intermediate Court of Appeals Judge Ryan White. Would the House please make Cameron and Ryan feel welcome.
Lady from the 81st, Doug Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to announce today, as many of y'all have seen in the rotunda, today is Black Policy Day, and we have students and organizations from all over West Virginia here engaging legislators about different policies that take place here. But I want to honor the organizers of this event, which is Crystal Good, who is over Black by God Publications, Katanya Hart, and Dr. Shaniqua Smith. And I also would like to recognize in the West Gallery, we have with us this morning, if he would stand, the Interim Director of West Virginia University Center for Black Culture and Research, Mr. Javier McCoy. House, please make him feel welcome.
Gentleman, the 57th, I got Lewis is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have two pages with me. I have Asher Ernest. He is a middle school student from South Charleston Middle. He's a three-sport athlete, soccer, basketball, track, and an A student. If he could stand up, he's joined by his mother, Brilliana Felton, and father, one of my college football teammates, Ernest Jr. Also, I have another, Leliana Robinson. She is a middle school student from Horseman Middle. She's joined by my fraternity brother, Tyrone Robinson. Please give him a hand.
Gentleman, the 25th, Doug Hornbuckle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today we have a guest with us in the West Gallery here representing the AKA Sorority Day. I know her decently well. It is my sister, Kara Hornbuckle, in the West Gallery. House, please make her feel welcome.
Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Visiting us from Monroe County today, and specifically the Peterstown Middle School, I have three pages, and I think they're all sitting down front. If they'll stand when I call their names, Mia Jackson, Ansley Young, Zoe Hodges, and their parents are in the West Gallery. If they would stand, and let's all make them welcome. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman the 8th, I got Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today is also West Virginia Professional Educators Day at the Capitol. With us today are my friends, Executive Director David Gladkowski up in the North Gallery, Associate Director Libby Surface, State President Dr. Scott Womack, and Kanawha County Representative Tiffany Peters, and they also have a display set up in the House Rotunda with cookies and information. If the House will please make them feel welcome.
From the 17th, Doug Pinson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On behalf of Delegate Butler and myself, we're joined by a constituent and a longtime friend, a member of my church back home, and an exemplary example of Christian faith and trust. I'd ask Ron Hickman if he'd please stand. Ron is here today to show his support of the Cold Case Task Force bill. Ron's daughter, Leah Hickman, was tragically and senselessly murdered December 14, 2007, and that crime has to date went unsolved. If the House would please make my friend welcome.
Lady from the 20th, Doug Drennan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, everyone. Today I have a very special page with me today, Crystal Imble, if you'll stand up, please. She's the daughter of one of our very own legislative assistants, Jen Imble, and her father, Rajan Imble. She's a sophomore at Huber High School and excels in academics and is a two-time women's open champion. Please help me make her feel welcome. Thank you.
Gentleman 43rd, Delegate Tony.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm honored to have a page here with us today from Wyoming County, Parker Adams. If he'd stand up, he's from Oceana Middle School. Also in the West Gallery is his mother. She's principal of Berlin McKinney, Tina Wallen, and his stepfather, Deputy Sheriff for Wyoming County Sheriff's Office, Kenny Wallen. Please give them a warm welcome.
Gentleman the 16th, Doug Parsons.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have some very special guests in the North Gallery today. First, Executive Director of the Jackson County Development Authority, Ms. Veronica Lewis, if she'll stand, and the manager of the Jackson County Airport, Mr. Sam Dennis. Today is Veterans Visibility Day. Sam is an Air Force veteran. Please make them feel welcome.
Gentlemen, the 28th, Doug Browning.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a page with us today from Wayne County, Ms. Harper Hanshaw. She's actually on duty right now. She's a sixth grader from Cerrito Canova Middle School, and her favorite subject is math. She's accompanied today by her father and mother, Mr. Jared and Tessa Hanshaw. If they could please rise and the House could please make them feel welcome. Thank you.
Are there further announcements? If not, standing committee reports.
Your Committee on Energy and Public Works has had under consideration House Bill 4563, require easy pass transponder be registered to person, not vehicle. Reports committee substitute back, therefore, with recommendation of committee substitute do pass.
Report will be received. Other standing committee reports, select committee reports, executive messages, Senate messages, resolutions, petitions, bills introduced, motions, unfinished business. Bill's on third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4537, requiring municipalities take action when potential customers apply for water and sewer service.
The question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Are there objections to having this bill explained in lieu of having it read? If not, gentlemen, the 72nd, Doug Riley, to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill amends a section in code that provides a new mechanism to ensure that service to water and sewer customers is provided. It is provided that when potential customers apply for water or sewer service, an entity must determine the cost of the infrastructure necessary to provide the services with a net service positive revenue or the cost of the extension in accordance with PSC rules. If those potential customers wish to continue, they can request that the service provider make application for grant funds to finance those costs. If the grant is awarded that cover the total cost, then the service provider is required to provide the extension. I urge passage.
The question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Is there debate on the bill? If not, those in favor of passage of the bill will please vote aye. Those opposed will please vote no. The clerk will prepare the machine. Has every member voted? If so, the clerk will close the machine and ascertain the result. On that question, there were 91 ayes, 0 nays, and 9 members absent. A majority of members having voted in the affirmative, the chair declares the bill passed. The clerk will please report the title.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4537.
Are there title amendments? If not, the title as read by the lady from the 71st.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My vote failed to register. It was supposed to be in the green, and it wasn't on the board.
On passage of the bill?
On the passage of the bill, yes.
Lady, sir, was present in her seat?
Yes.
Okay, the clerk will record. Lady from the 71st, Doug Kimball, as having voted in the affirmative on passage of the bill. Clerk will please communicate the action of the House to the Senate on the passage of committee substitute for House Bill 4537, and please report the next bill on third reading.
House Bill 4591, to recognize school athletic directors who have achieved a nationally recognized professional certification through the National Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
The question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Are there objections to having the bill explained in lieu of having the bill read? If not, gentleman the 93rd, Doug Hornby, to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Much like the short title says, this bill recognizes school athletic directors who have been nationally certified. It reimburses them for training and provides a bonus if the county chooses to participate. I urge passage.
The question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Is there debate on the bill? If not, those in favor of passage of the bill will please vote aye. Those opposed will please vote no. The clerk will prepare the machine. Every member voted. If so, the clerk will please close the machine and ascertain the result. On that question, there were 88 ayes, 8 nays, and 4 members absent. A majority of the members having voted in the affirmative, the chair declares the bill passed. The clerk will please report the title.
House Bill 4591.
Are there title amendments? If not, the title as read by the clerk will be and remain the title of the bill. The clerk will please communicate the action of the House to the Senate. Next bill on third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4603, relating to the creation of the process of obtaining and adjudicating a pre-adjudicatory alternative disposition.
The question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Are there objections to having the bill explained in lieu of having the bill read? If not, gentleman the 64th, Doug Burkhammer, to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This committee substitute amends West Virginia Code relating to creating a pre-adjudicatory alternative diversion process, which would permit certain abuse and neglect legal proceedings to be resolved via the appointment of a guardian. I urge passage.
Question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Is there debate on the bill? If not, those in favor of passage of the bill will please vote aye. Those opposed will please vote no. The clerk will prepare the machine. Has every member voted? If so, the clerk will close the machine and ascertain the result. On that question, there were 96 ayes, 0 nays, and 4 members absent. A majority of the members having voted in the affirmative, the chair declares the bill passed. The clerk will please report the title.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4603.
Are there title amendments?
Delegate Akers moves to amend the title.
The question is on adoption of the title amendment. Those in favor of adoption of the title amendment will please say aye. Those opposed will please say no. The ayes have it. The chair declares the title amendment adopted. The title as amended by the House will be and remain the title of the bill. The clerk will please communicate the action of the House to the Senate. Next bill on third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4656, relating to chronic absenteeism.
Question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Are there objections to having the bill explained in lieu of having the bill read? If not, gentleman the 38th, Doug Ellington, to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This committee substitute shifts the focus of truancy or student chronic absenteeism from a punitive measures against the student to preventive measures for intervention on behalf of the students. The goal is to provide early intervention to students who are chronically absent, to assist them in receiving the services or interventions that they need before their absences and underlying causes therefore are exacerbated. The committee substitute removes truancy as a status offense and provides for earlier intervention on behalf of the student through wraparound services, which may be initiated upon the student's fifth absence, and pre-petition diversion services and interventions, which may be initiated earlier than in prior truancy cases through the new definition of chronic absenteeism. Wraparound services are provided through the Department of Human Services and in partnership with the Department of Education. The committee substitute also retains court jurisdiction under a new category for intervention on a juvenile's behalf as a child in need of supervision for a student who is chronically absent. Now, chronically absent is defined in the bill as the attendance director, his or her assistant, or the principal were unable to establish meaningful contact with the student's parent, guardian, or custodian. The interventions that are set forth in the system of student support plan have failed to improve the student's attendance. The student's absences are adversely affecting the student's ability to progress at grade level, or the student's absences reach or exceed 10% of the student's instructional days. The committee substitute sets forth the process for transition from truancy as a status offense to chronic absenteeism as a child in need of supervision. The committee substitute also provides for support to the chronically absent student by a student support specialist. The definition of a student support specialist includes school-based probation officers, school-based social worker, or any professional who is qualified to work with chronically absent students, and it is left to the discretion of the county school district, allowing the county to tailor the position to its individual needs. The committee substitute also provides that the compulsory attendance age ends at the student's 18th birthday. It clarifies that an 18-year-old must receive the same notice of absences that a parent, custodian, or guardian also receives. It removes criminal penalties to an 18-year-old for chronic absenteeism and allows the 18-year-old to withdraw from school in accordance with county attendance policies. That is a summary of the committee substitute, Mr. Speaker, and I urge passage.
Question now before the House is, shall the bill pass? Is there debate on the bill? Lady from the 56th, Dr. Young, is recognized on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Will the sponsor yield for a couple questions?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. So I don't serve on education, but I know we've had several chronic absenteeism bills over the past few years. Is this kind of undoing those bills, or kind of like what's the posture of where we're at, why this is changing again?
It's not undoing those bills. What it's doing is preventing students from becoming status offenders. Usually when they get out to 40 to 45 days is when the courts usually intervene. We're trying to do this before they get to that 10th absence. When it triggers, it triggers evaluation at 3 absences, 5 absences, and 10 absences. And when it gets to the 5th, we can do wraparound services, try to figure out what's going on with the student, why, if they need anything help as far as tutoring or other parental supervision or transportation, et cetera, that we can provide that.
Okay. So did teachers come basically and say what we did in the past wasn't working? I think it's good that we're trying. This sounds like a great plan. I support it. I just want to know kind of what led to this.
A number of those were working. It's just by the time it gets to the courts, it's already, the kids have been out of school for 40, 45 days and missed most of the school year. So we're trying to prevent that from happening. And
then
some of those may be caused because of the parents, not because of the student. And we don't want the student to get a status offense and be labeled after that.
Okay, so does this have anything that kind of makes the parent more responsible, or this just provides those enhanced services?
Well, they would be responsible, but it does offer assistance to the parents if there's something that they can change.
Great, thank you so much.
Is there further debate on passage of the bill? If not, those in favor of passage of the bill will please vote aye. Those opposed will please vote no. The clerk will prepare the machine. Has every member voted? If so, the clerk will please close the machine and ascertain the result. On this question, there were 96 ayes, 0 nays, and 4 members absent. A majority of the members having voted in the affirmative, the chair declares the bill passed. The clerk will please report the title.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4656.
Are there title amendments? If not, the title as read by the clerk will be and remain the title of the bill. The clerk will please communicate the actions of the House to the Senate. Next bill on third reading.
House Bill 4663, to repeal the requirement for a special license for a multi-vendor private fair and festival.
The question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Are there objections to having the bill explained in lieu of having the bill read? If not, gentleman from the 68, Doug Phillips, to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The purpose of House Bill 4663 is to repeal the code section relating to special licenses for multi-vendor private fairs and festivals where multiple vendors share liability and responsibility. This license has essentially become redundant and unnecessary. I urge passage.
Question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Is there debate on the bill? If not, those in favor of passage of the bill will please vote aye. Those opposed will please vote no. The clerk will prepare the machine. Has every member voted? If so, the clerk will close the machine and ascertain the result. On that question, there were 96 ayes, 0 nays, and 4 members absent. A majority of members having voted in the affirmative, the chair declares the bill passed. The clerk will please report the title.
House Bill 4663.
Are there title amendments? If not, the title as read by the clerk will be and remain the title of the bill. The clerk will please communicate the action of the House to the Senate. Next bill on third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4799, to establish the cold case task force for the state of West Virginia.
The question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Are there objections to having the bill explained in lieu of having the bill read? If not, gentleman the 17th, Doug Pinson, to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The committee substitute for House Bill 4799, to establish the cold case task force for the state of West Virginia. The committee substitute creates a statewide multi-jurisdictional cold case task force within the purview of the West Virginia State Police. It creates an executive board consisting of the superintendent and presidents of the Chiefs Association and the Sheriff's Association. The bill provides a purpose to aid in the investigation and prosecution of West Virginia cold cases. The bill authorizes the executive board to establish policies and procedures, authorizes the designation of the director for the assignment of troopers to the unit, creates a fund within the West Virginia State Police for the operation of the unit, and requires information sharing with the Fusion Center and its cold case database. That's a summary of the bill, Mr. Speaker, and I urge passage.
The question now before the House is, shall the bill pass? Is there debate on the bill? Gentleman 57, Doug Lewis, is recognized on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Would the sponsor yield with question, please?
Yes, sir. Gladly.
Thank you. as far as the funding, how would they raise money? Where's the funding coming from?
Sure. So, according to page 2 of the bill, lines 34 through about 38, the bill says that they may receive funding from any source, including but not limited to all fees, gifts, grants, bequests, transfers from any source, any monies that may be appropriated and designated to the cold case task force by the legislature. So in short, they can receive funding from the legislature, from grants, both state or federal, or private donations.
Got it. So currently there's no money in the fund, like they would have to raise that money.
That's correct, yes, sir.
Okay. And do we have an idea about how much would actually need to be raised in order for them to start the investigation process of these various cold cases?
It's an excellent question. Thank you for asking it. So the West Virginia State Police and their BCI unit have already been actively investigating some of these cold cases. I shared with the Judiciary Committee some of the cases that they've solved as a result. So they're using present resources within their current budget to begin. What this bill does is it puts in code the multi-jurisdictional task force for administrations to come, that it should be a priority, and it creates this fund. So the short answer to your question would be they're presently investigating with their current resources. I believe that they could start immediately, and the more that they are able to get through grant funding, private donation,
or appropriation, the more that they get, the more that they'll be able to do.
Okay. So I guess we're codifying this in order to make it a more formalized process. Is that from what I understand?
That's correct, yes, sir.
And this may be a little bit of a technical question, but as far as like case priority, how is it like kind of first in, or they're going back to the furthest cases and trying to solve those first and then move forward? What is the process of getting a case presented to this board?
Well, it's an excellent question. Unfortunately, there's a lot of cases to choose from, communities all throughout the state. So I believe that the best answer would be it would be up to the executive board as structured in the bill.
Okay. Now, and again, last question. So would that be a process of if a family unfortunately had a code case, would they try to present to the board, or how would they, again, I'm sure they have knowledge of these various cases, but how would they sort of get on the docket, if you will?
Sure. And again, a good question. So I believe that would be appropriate. And then also, since we're having this discussion, I should indicate that there's nothing in the bill that would mandate a department, a municipality, or a sheriff's department to cooperate. So if for some reason a local department would see a reason to not share the case file and intimate details about the case, this is not mandatory. This bill is not mandatory that a sheriff's department or a police department would be forced to hand over that case file. We certainly did not feel that our local departments would appreciate that encroachment.
Okay. And again, you're a former law enforcement officer. Why wouldn't they want to, like, if you had a 10, 15, 20-year-old case, what would be a reason not to share that information with a task force that specializes in solving said cases?
Yeah, I don't believe that we'll have agencies that wouldn't want to do that, but I just wanted to speak that it's clearly spelled out that they're not mandated to do it. I believe police agencies all around the state will be glad to recruit the help of the best 12, 14, 16 investigators that we can put on this task force.
Gotcha. Thank you. Permission to speak to the bill?
Yes, gentlemen, it's recognized.
Unfortunately, I've had several friends who have been murdered in the past and their cases have not solved. I really like this bill. I like where it's going, and hopefully we can get some support to fully fund it in order to solve some of these cases. There's nothing worse than having your friend's mom come up to you, particularly being in the position that we're in, asking for help, and there's nothing that we can do. So I fully support this bill, and I hope you will too. Thank you.
Is there further debate on passage of the bill? Does the gentleman wish to close debate on the bill? If not, those in favor of passage of the bill will please vote aye. Those opposed will please vote no. The clerk will prepare the machine. Has every member voted? If so, the clerk will close the machine and ascertain the result. On this question, there are 96 ayes, 0 nays, and 4 members absent. A majority of members having voted in the affirmative, the chair declares the bill passed. The clerk will please report the title.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4799.
Are there title amendments? If not, the title as read by the clerk will be and remain the title of the bill. The clerk will please communicate the action of the House to the Senate. Next bill on third reading.
House Bill 4842, relating to civil remedies for the unauthorized disclosure of intimate images.
The question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Are there objections to having the bill explained in lieu of having the bill read? If not, gentlemen from the 55th, Doug Akers, to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In 2022, this body passed the new provision of Code 55-20-3, which provides for a civil action for those whose intimate images are either disclosed or threatened to be disclosed without the other person's consent. Unfortunately, as technology changes, new crimes or new things that should be crimes pop up. And last year, we had a new bill that passed through, new sexual extortion law. That law postdated the 2022 law that we're going to amend today if this bill were to pass. And adds the crime of sexual extortion to the civil remedies for unauthorized disclosure of intimate images. And just real quickly to tell you the background of how this amendment came to be, or this amendment to existing code we're talking about here today came to be. We have the gentleman from the, make sure I get the numbers here, 59th, and the gentleman from the 60th, also know the Tate family here in Kanawha County. Bryce Tate was a young man who was a high schooler last fall who, over the course of about 3 hours or less, was sexually extorted by means of his cell phone. Someone had hacked into his personal data. They were imitating a teenage girl, obtained some access to some of Bryce's intimate images. Approximately 3 hours later or less, Bryce, who's an honor student and by all accounts a great kid, killed himself because of the threat of the disclosure of those images. He did that while his parents were at home. Upon realizing that something had happened, they rushed to his room and found him dead. So Bryce's parents, his dad in particular, as mom is still too troubled at times, I think, to talk about this, but his dad contacted some of us, the delegates I talked about before, and myself, and asked if we could do anything to help remedy that situation. Bryce's dad did not know that we had passed a new sexual extortion law last spring. He was very happy to know that we had done so, just unfortunately a few months before his son's death. But we did look for some other things we could do to honor Bryce and his family, look for some other changes or gaps in the law. Earlier this session, we passed amendments to existing code to add sexual extortion to our sex offender registry and our central abuse registry. This is the final thing that we're able to look at in code where there seemed to be a missing gap to add the crime of sexual extortion to those who may be liable for the threatened or intentional disclosure of these intimate images. So with that said, Mr. Speaker, on behalf of the Tate family, I urge passage.
The question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Is there debate on the bill? If not, those in favor of passage of the bill will please vote aye. Those opposed will please vote no. The clerk will prepare the machine. Has every member voted? If so, the clerk will close the machine and ascertain the result. On that question, there were 96 ayes, 0 nays, and 4 members absent. A majority of the members having voted in the affirmative, the chair declares the bill passed. The clerk will please report the title.
House Bill 4842.
Are there title amendments? If not, the title as read by the clerk will be and remain the title of the bill. The clerk will please communicate the action of the House to the Senate. Next bill on third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4850. Providing online training for executors, executrix of an estate.
The question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Are there objections to having the bill explained in lieu of having the bill read? If not, gentleman from the 98, Doug Funkhauser, to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The committee substitute for House Bill 4850 adds a new Section 1A to Chapter 44, Article 1, which requires the West Virginia State Bar to provide free online educational materials explaining the duties and responsibilities of executors and administrators in administrating wills and estates by January 1st, 2028. Death is one of the few certainties in life. Estate planning awareness is sound public policy because it reduces the burden on our county and court systems, prevents family disputes, and ensures the efficient transfer of assets, reducing reliance on public assistance. It promotes financial stability, protects minor children, and helps citizens manage incapacity, fostering community resilience and reducing the administrative chaos of intestate succession. What the West Virginia Bar currently has material on small estates on its website, so you can let West Virginians know that some material is available before the effective date of 2028. That's a brief summary of the bill, Mr. Speaker. I urge passage.
The question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Is there debate on the bill? If not, those in favor of passage of the bill will please vote aye. Those opposed will please vote no. The clerk will prepare the machine. Has every member voted? If so, the clerk will close the machine and ascertain the result. On that question, there were 96 ayes, 0 nays, and 4 members absent. A majority of the members having voted in the affirmative, the chair declares the bill passed. The clerk will please report the title.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4850.
Are there title amendments? If not, the title as read by the clerk will be and remain the title of the bill. The clerk will please communicate the action of the House to the Senate. Next bill on third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill 5341 to create a domestic violence registry.
The question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Are there objections to having the bill explained in lieu of having the bill read? If not, gentleman from the 66, take a Kyle to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 5341 creates a domestic violence offender registry within the West Virginia State Police applicable to intimate partner acts of domestic violence. It requires a registry upon a second conviction for the domestic violence crime involving an intimate partner. Requires the court clerks to forward the conviction records to the West Virginia State Police. It assesses a registration fee to be split between the Domestic Violence Family Court Fund and the Domestic Violence Legal Services Fund. Provides a procedure for removal from the registry for certain offenses, and creates a special revenue fund within the West Virginia State Police for operation of the registry. That is a brief description of the bill, and I urge its passage. Thank you.
Question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Is there debate on the bill? A gentleman from the 54, Tuckett Pushton, is recognized on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Would the sponsor yield?
Certainly.
Thank you. So this, does this create a, it's a new registry operated by the state police, or is it used the already existing central abuse registry?
This would be a new registry.
Very new, a new registry. And you said it's for once, if someone has two convictions, they would have to add their names to the registry?
Yes, sir. So on first offense, if it involves serious bodily injury, court's discretion, they could add this person to the domestic violence registry. Second offense is mandatory. And then third offense, there is no removal from the registry. There are no provisions to remove you.
Okay, but there are provisions to remove now. Like if after a certain amount of time, one could petition to be removed?
There are. First offense is 5 years. Second offense is 10 years.
Okay, thank you very much for yielding, Mr. Speaker. I'll just say briefly that back when we were first elected, when I had more hair and more optimism, a constituent came to me with this proposal due to a very unfortunate instance that took place where, and I don't think she would mind me talking about, she was prepared to come speak to committee meetings for the past decade over this issue. And I'm sure she would be very pleased to know that this bill's up for a vote today, finally. But the way that people meet these days, sometimes, whether it's through social media or dating apps, that she had met somebody and turned out to be a serial abuser. And she found out so when she went to go file a protective order, found out that there were previous convictions. And a bill like this, a proposal like this, would possibly prevent circumstances like that from happening. This could definitely save people a whole lot of trouble and quite possibly save lives. So while I'm not a huge fan of creating registries, I do wholeheartedly support this one. In this day and age, I think it's better if people do know, especially if somebody... The bill that I introduced was three convictions, and there was no way to take the name off it. And it also added the names to the Central Abuse Registry, which didn't create a new registry. But I think this works. This is really the same idea, and I appreciate the sponsor for getting this to the floor. Thank you.
Is there further debate on the bill? Does the gentleman wish to close debate on the bill? If not, the question before the House is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of passage of the bill will please vote aye. Those opposed will please vote no. The clerk will prepare the machine. Has every member voted? If so, the clerk will close the machine and ascertain the result. On that question, there were 96 ayes, 0 nays, and 4 members absent. A majority of members having voted in the affirmative, the chair declares the bill passed. The clerk will please report the title.
Committee substitute for House Bill 5341.
Are there title amendments?
Delegate Akers moves to amend the title.
The question is on adoption of the title amendment. Those in favor of adoption of the title amendment will please say aye. Those opposed will please say no. The ayes have it. Chair declares the title amendment adopted. The title as amended by the House will be and remain the title of the bill. The clerk will please communicate the action of the House to the Senate. Are there other bills on third reading? If not, bills on second reading.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 250, budget bill.
Gentleman the first.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Unanimous consent to advance to third with amendments pending.
Are there objections to advancing the bill to third reading with the amendments pending? No objections are heard, and the bill will be so advanced. Next bill on second reading.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 251, authorizing Department of Administration to promulgate legislative rules.
Are there amendments? If not, the bill will be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4027, budget bill.
Gentleman the first.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Unanimous consent to postpone action one day.
Are there objections to postponing action one day on the bill? No objections are heard, and the bill will be so postponed. Next bill on second reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4481, West Virginia Load Forecast Accountability Act.
Are there amendments? If not, the bill will be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4798, permitting teachers to wear a mobile alert button for emergency situations, to be known as Alyssa's Law.
Are there amendments? If not, the bill will be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4971, relating to preliminary planning for future electric substations near industrial parks on certain high-voltage lines.
Are there amendments?
Delegate Dillon moves to amend the committee substitute. This is HFA Dillon 2-24, number 1.
Are there objections to having the amendment explained in lieu of having the bill or the amendment read? No objections are heard. Chair recognizes the sponsor, gentleman, the 29th, Delegate Dillon, to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's a pretty self-explanatory and simple amendment. These substations are for the purposes of industrial parks, and the amendment simply makes it clear that our residential ratepayers should not, under any circumstances, be asked to cover the cost of these substations, since it is infrastructure that's intended for industrial use. That is a summary of the amendment. I would urge adoption. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Question is on adoption of the amendment just explained. Is there debate on the amendment? Gentleman from the 87th, Doug Howe, is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would rise in opposition to the gentleman's amendment. While it is very well founded, these are put in for industrial use, so that's going to be the one who pays for it. My concern is the way it is drafted. It says exclusively from industrial customers. There may be a chance where we're trying to attract an aluminum plant or an electronics plant or a steel mill, where as part of the deal, the state may wish to complete that infrastructure. This would preclude that. So I would urge rejection of the gentleman's amendment.
Gentleman from the 79th, Dr. Hansen, is recognized on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Would the sponsor yield?
Yes.
Thank you. It was just brought up that if this type of work were done, it would be billed to the industrial customers already. But is there any harm with making that explicit in the bill to be sure that residential customers are protected?
I don't believe it hurts at all to make that explicit.
Sorry, you don't believe what?
I don't think it hurts to make that explicit.
Okay, so essentially your amendment is to protect residential ratepayers from future rate increases, it sounds like.
That is the intention of the amendment, yes.
Okay, thank you for yielding. Mr. Speaker, I would like to speak in support of this amendment. I think that we need to do something to address the rapidly rising electric rates of our constituents across the state, and this is perhaps a small thing that we can do, but it's something substantive that will put some protections in place to make sure when these additional costs are incurred to help bring a business, an industrial site into the state of West Virginia, that those costs are borne by the company that comes into West Virginia and not by ratepayers in your district, residential ratepayers in your district. So I hope this is just one of hopefully many amendments and bills that we could vote for to help stabilize and potentially even reduce electric rates for West Virginians. I support it. Thank you.
Question again is on adoption of the amendment as explained by the sponsor. Is there debate on the amendment? Gentleman, the 22nd, Dr. Linville, is recognized on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think with the debate that's went on here so far that there might be a modification that we could make to deal with the sponsor of the bill's concerns, but also to handle what the sponsor of the amendment has. And so with that, I would ask unanimous consent to advance the bill to third reading with the general right to amend.
Okay, are there objections? Okay, no objections are heard. The bill will be so advanced. Further bills on second reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill 5015 relating to Respiratory Care Interstate Compact.
Are there amendments? Bill will be advanced.
House Bill 5110, amend section providing for a waiver of tuition and fees for older persons auditing certain college classes.
Are there amendments? If not, the bill will be advanced.
House Bill 5406, relating to driving under the influence.
Are there amendments? If not, the bill will be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 5416, to ensure continuity of title, protection of third parties, and orderly transition from trustee-based governance to corporate governance for churches and religious organizations.
Are there amendments? If not, the bill will be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 5444, relating to increasing the amount of fees to be paid by parolees for supervision.
Are there amendments? If not, the bill will be advanced.
House Bill 5449, repealing the addiction treatment pilot program.
Gentleman from the first.
Unanimous consent to postpone action one day.
Are there objections to postponing action one day on the bill? No objections are heard, and the bill will be postponed by one day. Further bills on second reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill 5454, relating to the Select Committee for the West Virginia Fusion Center.
Are there amendments? If not, the bill will be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 5582, extending program for drug screening of applicants for TANF.
Are there amendments? If not, the bill will be advanced.
House Bill 5682, supplemental appropriation to expire funds to surplus balance of general revenue.
Are there amendments? If not, the bill will be advanced. Are the bills on second reading? If not, bills on first reading.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 84, prohibiting law enforcement from placing surveillance cameras on private property.
Bill to be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4006, creating the West Virginia Aerospace Advanced Manufacturing Growth Act.
Bill to be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4126, to modify the funding distribution to the State Park Endowment Fund and the State Parks Operational Fund.
The bill to be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4148, requiring all salesperson licensees to submit proof of authorization to work.
The bill to be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4265, relating to authorizing the Department of Agriculture to promulgate a legislative rule relating to registration forms and tags for registration, taxation, and control of dogs.
The bill to be advanced.
Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill 4390, relating to the temporary payment to a kinship parent of a subsidy equal to that of a foster parent.
Bill to be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4395, relating to investigations of allegations of child safety violations for school personnel.
Bill to be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4483, changing funeral director licensure from 2 years to 5 years.
Bill to be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 4962, drug-related nuisances.
Bill to be advanced.
House Bill 4981, relating to state psychiatric hospital designations.
Bill to be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 5012, providing for in-year school personnel movement to meet school needs.
Bill to be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 5067, relating to the powers and duties of the director of the Division of Administrative Services.
Bill to be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 5086, relating to peer support services.
Bill to be advanced.
House Bill 5227, providing for the amount Secretary of State may charge for a bad check fee.
Bill to be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 5437, creating the Vape Safety Act.
Bill to be advanced.
House Bill 5612, relating to property valuations of properties located on the state capitol complex.
Bill to be advanced.
Committee substitute for House Bill 5613, to allow the Fleet Management Division to adopt the use of telematic systems in all state-owned vehicles and remove antiquated language referencing one-time audit.
Bill to be advanced.
House Bill 5630, relating generally to providing notice for amendments to a zoning ordinance.
Bill to be advanced. Are the bills on first reading? If not, leaves of absence. Gentleman the first.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For our colleagues, delegates Kump, Masters, Brian Smith, and Vance.
Are there objections to leaves of absence being granted? No objections are heard, and those leaves of absence will be granted. Introductions. Introductions. Miscellaneous business. Gentleman from the first.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move subject to announcements. The House adjourn until 11 a.m. tomorrow.
Are there announcements? Gentleman the first.
Sir, Mr. Speaker, your Rules Committee will meet tomorrow morning at 10:45 a.m. in the Speaker's Conference Room.
Gentleman the 72nd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee on Finance will resume its committee meeting this evening at 5 p.m. in the House Finance Committee Room. The agenda is still posted. Your Subcommittee on Banking and Insurance will meet today at 1 p.m. in the House Finance Committee Room. The agenda is posted. Lastly, your Committee on Finance will meet tomorrow, February 25th at 9 a.m. in the House Finance Committee Room. The agenda is posted. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman the 41st, Delegate Maynard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee on Judiciary will meet tomorrow, February 25th at 9 a.m. in the Judiciary Committee Room. Republican members of the committee will caucus in the chairman's office at 8:45 a.m., and the agenda will be posted. Thank you.
Chairman from the 39th, Doug Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Standing Committee on Government Organization will meet today at 1 p.m. in the Government Organization Committee Room. The agenda is posted. Republicans will caucus at 12:45 in the chair's office. Additionally, your Standing Committee on Government Organization will meet tomorrow at 1 p.m. in the Government Organization Committee Room. The agenda will be posted, and Republicans will caucus at 12:45 in the chair's office. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman of the 92nd, Nugget Height.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee on Health and Human Resources will meet today, February 24th at 3:30 p.m. in the Health and Human Resources Committee Room. Republican members will caucus at 3 p.m. And tomorrow, Wednesday, February 25th, your Committee on Health and Human Resources will meet at 3:30 p.m. Republican members will caucus at 3 p.m. The agendas are posted. Thank you.
Gentleman from the 43rd, Delegate Tony.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Standing Committee on Education will meet today at 1 p.m. in the Education Committee Room. The agenda is posted. Additionally, your Standing Committee will meet again tomorrow, Wednesday, February the 25th at 1 p.m. in the Education Committee Room. That agenda will be posted.
Gentleman from the 2nd, Douglas Atezolo.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Standing Committee on Energy and Public Works will meet today, February 24th, in the House Judiciary Committee Room at 3 p.m. The agenda is posted. Also, your Standing Committee on Energy and Public Works will meet tomorrow, February 25th, in the House Judiciary Committee room at 3 p.m., and the agenda will be posted. Thank you.
Are there further announcements? If not, the question is on the motion that the House adjourn until 11 a.m. tomorrow. Those in favor of the motion, please say aye. Aye. Opposed, please say no. The ayes have it. The motion is adopted. The House is adjourned until 11 a.m. tomorrow.